Radio Prague News. Czech government and party leaders have welcomed the outcome of the Irish referendum on the Lisbon Treaty and urged its speedy ratification by the Czech Republic. President Václav Klaus, a fierce opponent of the Lisbon Treaty, has refused to say whether he would sign the document. And rescue teams have recovered the bodies of four construction workers from under the debris of a three-story house that collapsed in the centre of Prague on Friday. Czech government and party leaders have welcomed the outcome of the Irish referendum on the Lisbon Treaty and urged its speedy ratification by the Czech Republic. Foreign Minister Jan Kohout said the Irish yes should serve as an inspiration to the Czech Republic, while Minister for European Affairs Stefan Fille described it as a big challenge, saying that if the Czech Republic were to be the country to bring the treaty to life, he hoped it would happen sooner rather than later. Caretaker Prime Minister Jan Fischer, who is to meet with EU officials next week to discuss the way forward on Lisbon, has expressed the conviction that the treaty's ratification would be concluded by the end of the year. Meanwhile, Czech President Václav Klaus, who remains fiercely opposed to the treaty, refused to say on Saturday whether he intended to sign the document. Speaking to journalists shortly after news of the Irish vote came through, Mr. Klaus said he was disappointed by the outcome, but ready to accept it. He pointed out that he was not at present able to sign the treaty since he was bound by law to await the outcome of a constitutional court ruling on whether the treaty is in line with Czech legislation, a process that could take between 6 weeks and 6 months. With Polish President Lech Kaczyński expected to sign the treaty in the coming days, the Eurosceptic Czech president is seen as the last obstacle on the road to completing ratification by the 27-member bloc. Some politicians have urged the group of right-wing senators who filed a constitutional complaint against the Lisbon Treaty to withdraw it in order to clear the way for its immediate ratification by the president. The Christian Democrats and the Social Democrats say this would be the easiest solution, pointing out that delaying the treaty's ratification could harm the country's interests. However, others believe that once launched, the constitutional procedure should be allowed to run its course. Minister for European Affairs Stefan Fille said that under the circumstances, it would be better if the Constitutional Court completed the treaty's assessment. The group of senators who filed the complaint have shown no indication of reconsidering their decision, despite growing pressure on them to do so. Rescue teams have recovered the bodies of four construction workers from under the debris of a three-story house that collapsed in the centre of Prague on Friday. The four victims of the tragedy were all foreign nationals, two Bulgarians and two Ukrainians. They had been working on the site when the third-floor ceiling collapsed and crashed through the one under it. It took rescuers 36 hours to find their bodies under the debris. The rescue operation had to be discontinued twice for fear that other parts of the building were in danger of collapsing. Props were put in to make the site safer for the rescue team. An investigation is underway to ascertain what caused the tragedy. At least one person has come forward to say that safety norms were not respected by the company in question. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. The next few days are expected to be partly cloudy to overcast with intervals of rain and shine and day temperatures between 13 and 17 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hi, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the answer to the most recent mailbox competition is revealed. After that, the post goes in the opposite direction because Rosie Johnston will deliver this week's Letter from Prague. And that's followed by this month's edition of Music Profile, dedicated to the Czech singer-songwriter Jiří Dědeček. That's coming up in a bit, but first, here's Pavla Horáková with this Sunday's edition of Mailbox.
Hello Hello and welcome to the first mailbox in October. This means the name of September's mystery person is about to be revealed. The Prague-born Nobel Prize winner was not Marie Curie nor Milena Jesenská, but rather
Gertie Theresa Corey. The three great personalities who won the Nobel Prize in the year 1947 are Gertie Theresa Corey, Carl Ferdinand Corey, and Bernardo Alberto Houssay.
Our listener Uday I. Nayak from India wrote in the very first email to arrive after the question was first announced. Kristýna Pletková listens in South Bohemia.
The mystery woman born in Prague in 1896, who won the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 1947, is Dr. Gertie Theresa Corey. As one of a few female students, she attended medical school at the German Charles Ferdinand University in Prague. In 1922, she emigrated together with her husband, Carl Ferdinand Corey, to the United States to pursue medical research at the State Institute for the Study of Malignant Diseases in Buffalo, New York. In 1928, they became naturalized citizens of the United States.
Colin Law from New Zealand, as usual, sent a very detailed answer full of interesting facts and sadly too long to quote in full.
Gertie was the first of three girls born to Otto and Martha Neustadt Radnitz. Otto was a sugar refinery manager, and his work may have influenced Gertie's early interest in chemistry and her later choice of scientific focus. In those days, girls were not expected to attend university, but Gertie persevered in following her dream to become a chemist. She had to pass a special entrance exam to prove her knowledge of Latin, literature, history, mathematics, physics and chemistry before she could enter the medical school of the University of Prague in 1914. There she met Carl Ferdinand Corey, also born in 1896, who shared her interest in scientific research. In 1920, they graduated and received their MD degrees.
Jason Meader listens in Florida.
I absolutely love your programs, and I am always happy when time is given to respect and appreciate the work and contribution of women. In this male-dominated world, it doesn't happen often enough. It's only a fact of life that life itself is all about balance. This basic yet complex concept applies to human relations as well. Behind every great man, there is a strong woman. Behind every great woman, there is a strong man. Gertie Radnitz Corey, along with her husband, Carl Corey, focused on their work in the field of enzymology, where they became known and awarded for discovering phosphorylase, an enzyme that breaks down glycogen into the Corey ester.
S.J. Akbula from Nigeria also stresses the importance of the marriage of two scientists.
Her marriage to a fellow professional led the family to greater achievements in the medical field. She and her husband were prolific writers. She personally authored many publications, while she also co-authored many others with her husband. She had an array of awards to her credit. In fact, she was a woman who was able to tread where others feared to go.
David Eldridge writes from the United Kingdom.
Gertie and Carl Corey were best known for their work on carbohydrate metabolism. Gertie Radnitz met her husband-to-be, Carl Corey, while attending medical school in the University of Prague. They married after graduation in 1920, and shortly afterwards she converted from Judaism to Catholicism. They first moved from Prague to Vienna and in 1920 to Buffalo in the United States. Her family background was Jewish, and she experienced the effects of anti-Semitism in Prague and Vienna. In the United States, gender discrimination had a significant detrimental effect on her career.
Hiroshi Katayama listens to Radio Prague in Japan.
In Japan, she is not a well-known woman, I think, but I've known her through one of my hobbies, collecting postage stamps. The stamp featuring Gertie Corey was issued in March 2008 in the United States of America. The stamp has a fatal printing error in the chemical formula.
Charles Konesny writes from Ohio.
She credited any contribution she made to science to the benefits of a European education, followed by the freedom and opportunities in the United States. Europe and the U.S. are part of the picture, but I think heaven also enters in, as Gertie and Carl's marriage seemed to have been made there. They were two people working closely together for all those years, sharing their research, accomplishments, and awards, and through it all seemed to be a very devoted couple.
Richard Chen is our regular listener in Trinidad and Tobago.
Gertie Theresa Corey, together with her husband Carl Ferdinand Corey, won the Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine in 1947 for their discovery of the course of the catalytic conversion of glycogen and were awarded half the prize. The other winner, Bernardo Alberto Hussai of Argentina, received an X-Harv for another discovery relating to the metabolism of sugar.
Daniel Gutierrez writes from Massachusetts.
Gertie Teresa Radnitz Cory was the third woman to win a Nobel Prize. She could be considered the first Czech woman to receive such an award, but because she became a United States citizen in 1928, she is commonly attributed to be the first American woman to become a Nobel laureate.
And Hans Werner Lollicke from Denmark wrote,
Gertie Teresa Cory is the woman born in Prague who received part of the Nobel Prize in 1947. Now, I ask myself, after finding out month after month about persons born in your country who ended up being famous elsewhere in the world, aren't there any persons born elsewhere who ended up becoming famous in your country?
That's a very good point. As Gertie Cory has been the 60th mystery Czech in the mailbox quiz, it may be time to make a little change. Not that I'm not well stocked up on world-famous people born in this country, but there are indeed a great number of those who came from far and wide to create their works of art or make scientific discoveries in this small country in the heart of Europe. It's definitely a field worth exploring. But now I won't keep you waiting any longer. Let me announce the names of the four listeners who have been picked out of the hat this time to receive small prizes for their correct answers. They are Uday I. Nayak from India, Jason Meade from the United States, Richard Chen from Trinidad and Tobago, and Sudip Chakraborty from Italy. My congratulations, and your parcels are in the post. And finally, a brand new quiz question. In October, we are looking for the name of the illustrator born in 1934 in Ústí nad Labem into a Czech-German family. He's probably best known for designing the characters in the 1968 animated film Yellow Submarine, based on the music of the Beatles. The address for your answers is, as usual, english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 10099 Prague, the Czech Republic, and the deadline is October the 31st. Thanks for taking part in our quiz and for listening to Radio Prague.
Thanks, Pavla. If you've just joined us, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Now we're joined by Rosie Johnston, as she has this week's Letter from Prague.
Last week, Letter from Prague escorted you to balmy foreign climes. This week, I'm taking you to Ostrava, the Czech Republic's third city and industrial hub, where I found myself for the first time ever last weekend. My knowledge of Ostrava before my trip, if knowledge is even the right word, was limited to a number of stereotypes that circulate in the capital about Ostravaci, the locals, a vague ability to distinguish an Ostrovan accent in all of its clipped vowel glory, and a newspaper report or two about Stodolny Street, the city's premium entertainment thoroughfare. As I don't want this letter from Prague to descend into being a string of jokes about Ostrovans, I'll keep this section brief. I went to Ostrava having heard, more or less, that the city was something like the Czech Essex. I suppose, in a nutshell, the stereotype often is that Ostrovans don't have the lashings of class that their counterparts in Prague do. I was warned that there might be a few more gold chains and a few more unseasonal tans on the go there than I was used to, since at least my youth in Scotland. I'd also heard intriguing stories about some of the slag heaps that dot the city, the insides of which have been burning for the last several decades, and on the surfaces of which, allegedly, now grow tropical plants. This effect was said to look rather dramatic in the midst of the Silesian landscape. Imagine my surprise thus to arrive in Ostrava and find fewer palm trees and even fewer Pringle sweaters than I'd expected. Instead, a great deal of impressive Art Nouveau and functionalist architecture, a number of well-preserved historic squares in the city centre, and Erasmus students from around the continent gearing up for the start of the academic year. A night out on the aforementioned Stodolny Street did contain more vanilla ice and Simply Red than a usual Prague evening on the town, but that could have been something to do with my choice of venue. The trip there was fleeting, but, well, worth repeating, and not only so I can find those fabled cacti I've been promised downtown.
Letter from Prague was by Rosie Johnston, and Rosie stays with us now because she has the latest edition of Music Profile.
Hang down your head, don't do lean. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, don't do lean. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Music Profile, which will prove a treat in particular for polyglots. This month, we're taking a look at the back catalogue of singer-songwriter, translator par excellence, and head of the Czech Pen Club, Jiří Jedeček. Jedeček translates from French and Russian primarily, and fear not, there'll be more on that later. But he occasionally uses English in his songs as well. In this song from his 1996 album, Kouzlo noční samoty, meaning something like The Magic of Nocturnal Solitude, Jedeček sings his own version of a country and western ballad, called Prodavač bonů, The Money Changer. While the English part of the song deals with the staple themes of love, murder and retribution, the Czech part of the song is slightly less conventional. On his way home from work one payday, Jedeček sings he fell foul of a wily money changer. Here's a snippet of the silver-tongued prodavač in action.
Jsem si nes, potkal mě prodavač bonů, vidím to jako dnes, říkal, že marka jde dolů, že je to ložený, říkal to prodavač bonů, v bundičce kožený, prej vlně devalvací. Odolá pouze bon, bon krytej lidskou prací, takovej jako on, že dává jeden za šest, že by mi taky dal, že by si pokládal za čest, kdybych si nějakej vzal, bylo mi strašně líto.
Kouzlo noční samoty was made up entirely of Jedeček's own songs, while the album that followed, Žalospěv pro lehký holky, was a collection of his translations of French chansonneur Georges Brassens' music. The title song on this 1998 album was, in its French original, known as La Complainte des Femmes de Joie. In English, I suppose it would come out something like The Women of Ill Repute's Lament. Have a listen as Jedeček sings how his shoes hurt, how venereal disease is rubbish, and how his customers should take a bath more often.
Zkuste dámy, co to je, jen zkuste dámy, co to je bejt celou šichtu ve stoje, bejt celou šichtu ve stoje, a kdykoliv pro všecky tmání, jo páni, jo páni, a kdykoliv pro všecky tmání. Mít paty špičky odřený, mít paty špičky odřený, a klenby dlažbou zbořený, a klenby dlažbou zbořený, a těch bot na roztrhání, jo páni, jo páni, a těch bot na roztrhání. Pak přijde chlap a že by chtěl, pak přijde chlap a že by chtěl, a mejdlo jak živ neviděl, a mejdlo jak živ neviděl, no co je to za milování, jo páni, no co je to za milování. I pro špínu a hastroše, i pro špínu a hastroše, má holka příděl rozkoše, má holka příděl rozkoše, a nebe na požádání, jo páni, jo páni, a nebe na požádání.
In 2003, Jedeček released another album of his own original songs, called Kdyby smrtka měla mládí. You're just about to hear a bit of the first track, called Romance postmoderní, the title of which needs no translation. But before you get ready to hear tales of love in the modern age, a word of warning. This song is mostly about sitting in a pub, getting slowly but thoroughly drunk, watching a girl eat dumplings with her mouth open, and ending up rather the worse for wear in the establishment's toilet. The faint-hearted should turn their dials down now.
Pili jsme pivo s přáteli a po devátém kozlu hovořil jeden o dobru a druhý zase o zlu, tráva postmoderna. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la, trála jednořezaný a druhý zase o zlu. Já pravým uchem naslouchal a ven to pouštěl levým a mlčel jsem ne k tématu. Nic podstatného nevím, tráva postmoderna. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la, trála dvě řezaný. Nic podstatného nevím, hospodou pára vonila. Z nějaké nobl šlichty a nad ní mládež skláněla své postmoderní ksichty,
Kdyby smrtka měla mládí contains several pacifist protest songs like Oda na deserti, an ode to desertion, and this, which I chose for symmetry's sake. It's called Žalospěv pro vojenské sekretářky, meaning the military secretary's lament, and in it, Dědeček sings the part of a disabled war veteran who begs the army's secretaries to stop sending him letters calling him back to fight. Have a listen.
Zdá se mi v noci o válce, podivné vídám obrazy. Ráno mi chodí v obálce povolávací rozkazy. Ráno mi chodí v obálce povolávací rozkazy. Zdá se mi, že jsem pověřen a velím ochům ve zbrani. Ale náš čas je vyměřen, kolem už krouží havrani. Ale náš čas je vyměřen, kolem už krouží havrani. Ale náš čas je vyměřen, kolem už krouží havrani. Bloudím řadami postelí v pachu nemité pleti. Já zbabělý a dospělý, oni divoké děti. Já zbabělý a dospělý, oni divoké děti. Zdá se mi, když je po boji, že nevím jistě, zda jsem pak. Neodpočívám v pokoji, na těle zvlhlý rovnošat. Neodpočívám v pokoji, na těle zvlhlý rovnošat.
In recent years, Jiří Dědeček has collaborated with the National Theatre in Prague on a dance project called Solo pro tři, or Solo for Three. In the critically acclaimed piece, the songs of Russian Vladimir Vysotsky, Belgian Jacques Brel, and Czech Karel Krill provide the soundtrack for a modern ballet. Dědeček translated Vysotsky and Brel into Czech especially for the performance. He later released an album of these Brel translations, entitled Musíme vidět dál, Il nous faut regarder in French, in English We must look or use our eyes. Here's the title song from this album, which I'm going to give you a particularly long blast of because it's one of my favourites.
Za všecku špinavost, co nabízí náš svět, za oči třtící zlost a za skřivený red, až za ty ruce tam, sepjaté pro štěstí, vstažené ke hvězdám, zaťaté do pěstí, až za ostnatý drát, za pohraniční val, až za bídu a hlad a ještě mnohem dál. Musíme vidět dál na krásu poměnek a slunce v skrytu skal a dívky podél řek a křídla vlaštovek a rodící se den a přátelství a vděk a lodi krásných men a křídla vlaštovek a rodící se den a přátelství a vděk a lodi krásných men. I skrz tu muziku vonící po slzách, z nášků a ze vzliků, těch, které žene strach, i skrze vřavu měst, z prostotu řidičů, sirény podél cest, nadávky dlaždičů, i přes válečný ryk, jako jen děti snad, v ten pravý okamžik, musíme naslouchat, čím zvoní ptačí zpěv, jak šumí letní sad, co zpívá v žilách krev, co matka s dítětem, když ze sna zavzdychá, a co si šeptá zem, než usne do ticha, co matka s dítětem, když ze sna zavzdychá, a co si šeptá zem, než usne do ticha.
Musíme vidět dál was released in 2004. 2 years later came Dědeček's most recent album to date. Řeknete to mimo psovi, Tell It to My Dog, was released on Indies Records with a rather scary picture of a long-haired mustachioed Dědeček on the cover. The song I've chosen to play from the album is called Užace, which is a sort of doggerel series of things that allegedly hold true in county towns around the Czech Republic. Brno comes across as being particularly formidable in this geographical nonsense song, as you're about to hear.
V písku, v písku, v písku, zadřel jsem si třísku, v táboře jsem si to zapsal do notýsku. No vážně a blatné, 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 neříkejte snadné, blatné vám to totiž nebude nic platné. No vážně, 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 nebude nic platné. V Brně, v Brně, v Brně vládne kruté mrně, chcete-li s ním mluvit, tedy
opatrně, no vážně, a v aši, straší, plaší, braši, zprvu jsme se báli, ale jsou to naši, no vážně, vážně, ale jsou to naši.
V Hradci, sešli se tři zpratci, podobně i v Lounech, ve Slaném a v Žatci, no vážně a u Žatce, chytili u Žatce.
Jiří Dědeček is working on a new project, a band sometimes known as Úterý, sometimes as Mardi, in which one of his daughters and her boyfriend also play. The band, who say they're making křehký punk, delicate punk, are set to release an album called Prší nám do Campari, It's Raining into Our Campari, very soon indeed. The band are touring with this new material currently and are worth seeing should they perform in a town near you. In the absence of any pre-release Mardi material, I'm going to leave you by taking you right back to the early days of Jiří Dědeček's career with the song Zprávy, or News, from 1980. I like this song because it reminds me of a Carol Quill song, which Jiří Dědeček calls his very favourite, Píseň neznámýho vojina. If you know the song I'm talking about, compare it and see what you think. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Just enjoy the song Zprávy.
Prosto pášný obrlajt nad cestou domů z pornokina znehodnotil autostrádu dvojsmyslným kosočtvercem. Šedovlasá bordel mutr v pološeru, cigártašky ubodala listonoše celziovým teploměrem.
That edition of Music Profile by Rosie Johnston is all we've got time for in today's program. As ever, we welcome all of your comments. Our email address is english@radio.cz and the postal address Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. We hope you can join us again soon, but for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye.
V lesoparcích velkoměsta z Centrotexu k Motokovu, z Motokovu k stroj importu. Bože, to je solo kapr, bože, to je solo kapr. Jede loko traktor, na něm sedí uhlobaron, zimom řivým kolem jdoucím uděluje prši pláště. Polo sedí, polo leží, lidožrouti v podpalubí vezou domů parolodí, státotvorné samostříly. Bože, to je solo kapr, bože, to je solo kapr. Opo člověk sedmi krásný zhotovil si autoportrét protikladné polokoule rotující v mezihvězdí. Děsu plně lidu prázdné čtvrtohorní světa díly leží v mořích břichem vzhůru jak obézní vodoměrky. Bože, to je solo kapr, bože, to je solo kapr. Trojicti hodní pivoznalci, ostrov tipní šunkožrouté, schánějí si dobrozdání, že jednali smysluplně. Je mi z toho čtyři.